and welcome to episode 290 of Fly Away. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or are just tuning in, we're happy you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. We'd love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Elizabeth, Donna, and George. After weeks of staying home, slowly the orders are lifting and Americans are getting back to normal, whatever normal is now. It's a slow process, and as we cautiously proceed into the future, we wonder, where can we go? We know we are all desperate to travel again and want to do so as soon as possible. So where are people traveling this summer, this fall, early next year? We thought we would share our plans as well and what we are hearing from our clients about the next step in travel. So let's get started. So it's kind of funny. At the moment, half of us are not at home.
And the other half of us are really itching to go somewhere soon.
So Donna, where are you?
I'm actually in Asheville right now, and I have to tell you, it was really strange. We were in the national park in the Smokies, and everything was really good, and crowds were light and everything, but then we went into Gatlinburg. And honestly, I was feeling very claustrophobic with all the people around.
Yeah.
So we basically went in there to eat, and then we left.
So I'm in Surfside Beach, which is right by Myrtle Beach at my parents' house. Because they've been asking for me to bring my two of my teenagers down to do some yard work and stuff for them. And so finally I was like, all right, I feel like enough time has passed. We can go down there. But I kind of put it off a day or two because it's Memorial Day weekend as we're recording this. And Memorial Day weekend is usually pretty busy down here. So I was a little bit nervous about that. And it was pretty crowded. The restaurants were kind of insane. I don't really want to go sit in a crowded restaurant. But on the beach, you know, people are distant. You don't have to get close to anybody. So, and we went to Target today too. And I would say maybe 30 to 40% of the people had masks. So I think the locals are the ones who had the masks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So people are starting to get out and move around. It's starting to happen.
It's good to know that at Myrtle, the beaches haven't been super crowded because that's not been the case at other beaches that have been open. And it's a little terrifying to see. I mean, walking on the boardwalk in New Jersey, and it's, you know, those boardwalks aren't huge anyway. So, you know, you get up to a certain number of people and it's just going to seem crowded. So
in Surfside, there's not a lot of hotels. It's mostly beach houses and not even really a lot of condos. So it's not like a lot of people can spill out onto the beach. Myrtle Beach might be worse. I heard that their hotel occupancy is like 100% this weekend, which is huge. Mm-hmm. So, I would expect for it to, and they've had some trouble with, like, it's not been great down here with that. But Surfside is fine, except for the restaurants. I didn't feel like people were giving space. It just looked really crowded. And we finally found one last night where we could sit outside, and they told us all they had left were appetizers. They'd been so slammed they ran out of everything. That was like 7 o'clock. That wasn't even like, you know, late at night.
Wow. So. And that's what we found here as well, is that the beer runs dry, that they don't have everything on the menu because their trucks aren't coming at on a regular basis. Right. Restaurants just opened on Friday here, and it's now Monday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was Friday at 5, which, I mean, I guess for restaurant language, but a lot of restaurants couldn't open Friday at 5 because they only got a couple of days notice in North Carolina open. And so a lot of restaurants were like, yeah, we still have to move all our furniture, and, you know, we haven't been operating ready for this at all, so it's going to take us some time. So like, I know one of our neighborhood haunts announced they were opening, I think, Wednesday, so they needed almost a whole week to get ready to open. But they don't have a big dining room either, so they have to, they're putting some of their furniture outside. They already had a little bit of outdoor seating, but now they have a lot of outdoor seating, so they sort of stretched down the sidewalk and into the parking lot. And so,
and we went to Johnny Rockets, and they've got, I mean, it's a diner, so they've got booths, and they were putting up partitions in between the booths while we were sitting there in the dining room eating. So you basically couldn't, you didn't have the couple in the seat behind you right around your head.
So where have you guys had people asking about going back to? I haven't, to be honest, I don't have a lot of inquiries. I feel like most of my people are going to stay close to home and do like, you know, drive to the beach, do what I did this weekend, you know, and not the kind of trips I normally sell or help with. So I haven't been busy. What about you, Elizabeth? Have you had any kind of uptick?
No, not for the summer. I actually had somebody book a cruise for July last week, and it was canceled about 4 days after they booked. I know that a couple of colleagues, my colleagues in Texas, are getting a lot of business from Mexico because Mexico looks like they're about to open up June and July, depending on where in Mexico. So they're starting to actually get stuff on the books for June and July for Mexico and the Caribbean. But so far, anybody who's sort of called me has been looking to either to do winter or late fall or next year. But the people I'm talking to, and even myself a little bit, are thinking road trips. And you guys are a good example of that. I mean, you both took road trips opposite directions. And, you know, one of you went mountains, one of you went beach. But I think that that's a lot. And I, you know, another colleague of mine is actually doing an RV trip right now. She's at the Grand Canyon today. And so I think we might see a little bit more interest in the United States. But even that is tricky because each state is different. You know, I had hoped to go to California in April with my son, and we were going to reschedule for August. But right now, I'm not sure we can go to California. So, yeah, even in August.
What about you, George? Do you have inquiries?
No, I haven't had a single request for a quote since all this started. It's been really dry. I know personally I had a trip to the Dominican at the end of August, and I knew that the resorts were going to be open, and it looks like the Dominican is probably going to be open for tourism, but Southwest canceled all their flights, so I have no way to get there. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to deal with changing it, but because everything's open, the tour operator wants to charge me change fees to change my dates. So I'm kind of waiting to see what happens and hope luck hits. And
so, do you know... like, as of right now, what is the Dominican Republic's policy on letting people in? Do they have, like...
Right now, I believe it's closed unless you're a citizen.
Yeah, I mean, I think that as of right now, I think June 1st was when they were talking about opening the borders. But then I thought, well, this is for Mexico. I thought I had read that we were told not to really expect that.
Mexico is sort of, yeah, basically the hotel said they were going to open, and then Quintana Roo government was like, really? Nope. However, let me just look, because I'm sort of keeping a little record of, you know, what's been announced. And I think, so Antigua has a June 1st date, the last time I checked. Aruba is June 15th. Cayman Islands isn't till September. Dominican is June 1st, according to this, but it could have changed because this is something that whenever I see an article post, I put it in here. So
it changed by the time this airs.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, keep in mind that it could be totally different, but actually a lot of Caribbean is June or July. And I think the biggest problem is exactly what George said, the lift to those islands, because the airlines aren't getting the business. So they're not. So, I mean, it might be, George, that your only recourse is to drive to Boston and catch a flight from there or something, right? I mean.
Well, the problem is, I didn't get credit. I did manage to get a refund, but it doesn't matter. They're not, Southwest isn't flying the Dominican until the end of October from any hub.
Right, but you could fly a different airline.
I could, but the problem is now is there's so few airlines and so many people trying to grab those flights that the prices are crazy.
Yeah.
It's just not worth it. So, no, I think I'm just going to reschedule for next year. And
well, I had a client that was actually looking at Cancun area, and I basically told him, I'm like, you know what? And he's been chomping at the bit to go. I says, he's planning on going the end of June. And I told him, wait till June 1st, make sure they actually open, and then we'll book it on June 1st, you know, and see where that is. A lot of my clients are sitting there looking at national parks out west.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got a few that are actually, they're planning Caribbean vacations and everything, but they're planning it for next year.
Yeah. So it seems to me, and this is just sort of a pattern I'm seeing in the industry, is that the domestic U.S. is sort of the first place people are looking. And if they can get to the Caribbean and Mexico, they're looking there. Cruising also, you know, Carnival announced that they will start sailing August 1st. Of course, we know that by the time this airs, it could change. But they're aiming for that. And I saw a little surge of interest in cruises when that happened. But I don't, you know, I don't know that, you know, how strong that is. But I think that might be the next step because the Caribbean is also opening up cruising, assuming people feel safe with cruising and feel it's, you know, clean and all that. And they'll be able to do that. And then in the fall, I still have people asking about Europe for the fall. I definitely see cruising for the fall. And then the thought is that the theme parks will open. So just recently, Universal announced that they're opening what next week, according to when we're recording this. So right in the first week of June, with a lot of restrictions, but they'll be opening. So the thought is that the other theme parks will follow in the coming months. And so people are sort of eyeballing September and later for theme parks. Are you guys seeing that?
I also saw something about Legoland.
Yeah, I saw Legoland. I'm waiting for Disney. You know, Disney Springs is open now. So I feel like maybe they're kind of waiting to see what happens at Universal and how Disney Springs goes. Because, you know, I think it would depend on how people conform to the new rules and how that goes and, you know. Yeah, I have a Disney reservation in October, and you know, if I have to wear a mask, I'm gonna wear a mask. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, so. Same. I have one in September. Yeah, same.
I have one in October. If I have to wear a mask, I'm just not gonna go. I'll cancel.
Yeah,
it's just too hot. I can't deal with that. It's just not. At that point, it's not fun. And what they charge. It needs to be fun.
I could see that. And, you know, we're planning on doing a VIP tour. So I feel like at least that day should be fairly easy. And again, as somebody who goes to Disney World a lot, I can adjust my plans to make myself comfortable and still have a good time. Whereas if it were my first trip to Disney, it wouldn't be ideal.
Like one and only trip with your kids.
Yeah.
That would probably not be great.
I do think
it'll be full of people who go there a lot. Like, I think. Mm-hmm. We'll see a lot of the bloggers, you know, the people who are very big, trying to like show people what it's like and what to expect when they go.
Well, I see a lot of people trying to they really don't want to put a deposit. They want to find out what's out there and what's available, but they're not really willing to put the deposit down until things officially actually open.
Yeah. Well, and I have to say I'm guilty of that too. I mean, I actually was just talking to Sandy about possibly doing a cruise in August, and we're a little nervous to deposit until we really know. And again, it isn't a deposit, it would be final payment. And I could totally use a future cruise credit if they were to cancel it. And I probably would go if it sailed no matter what, but it's really hard to spend the money right now with so many other things uncertain. They already pushed our school year back a week. You know, there's just so much that, you know, we don't know. My son's sports team that normally would not have anything going on in the summer has a ton of stuff going on in the summer because they haven't been able to do anything all spring. So just to get back on the ice and be able to play again, you know, we're just not sure. And we're pretty sure that week is safe, but we're just not sure. And so it's really hard to drop that money down, no matter how badly we want to go. And we want to go really badly.
There's availability. I mean, so I'm hearing that the cruise lines might do things like limit availability, you know, and cut off the amount of people that are going to be on there, you know, and I know a lot of people are looking for deals. They think it's going to be like really cheap, but I think it's like you were saying, Elizabeth, you have to be willing to go ahead and put that money out. Right.
And I think that's exactly what's going to happen.
We're paid in full for that cruise, which we got a great deal on it. If we end up taking a future cruise credit for it, I'll be okay with that, you know, but I'll be on it. If it goes, I'll be on it. So.
Did you see the, I don't know if it was a press release or the Royal Caribbean shareholder meeting, and they were talking about getting back to sailing on some of their ships, and that their bigger ships, the Oasis class and Quantum, are much more profitable at a lower capacity than their older ships were. So they're planning on starting with their biggest ships. And even at 30% capacity, they're profitable, which kind of surprised me.
Wow.
That at that low of capacity, they'd still actually make money.
Yeah. And I think that that's the way to go for them anyway. I mean, if I had to guess, I would have guessed that. I didn't see that report. But just because that's also giving the most flexibility of things to do on board, the most space to, you know, to spread out. So especially if you lower capacity, then, you know, you literally have tons of square footage per person.
I mean, yeah, whenever you're on one of those ships and they're at full capacity, you can find places that aren't crowded. Mm-hmm. So if they're 30%, oh my gosh. But what are things going to cost on board to make up for that? You know?
Well, they said that they have to sail at 30% in order to be profitable. So anything over, so they could probably sail at 50%.
Right. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And still, and that too, I think some of the thing is what will be required. You know, for the crews that we were looking at, we could technically drive there, although I hate driving, but we prefer to fly. And we don't know that we could fly. And we kind of want to plan it around going to Orlando because we have points to spend with Disney. And we're not sure we can go to Disney. So it's sort of, and I don't want to wear a mask at Disney in August. That's too hot. September we'll be pushing it, but August is like, no, don't want to do it.
We are driving and we're staying a couple nights at Port Canaveral. At the Holiday Inn, the resort that it's a timeshare, but you can book it if you're not in going as a timeshare person. You can just book it. So yeah, I think, you know, that'll make it a 6-night vacation for us, and I think that's fine. I'm interested to see what it's like. Another thing I was thinking though is, so the cruise that we're talking about is the Mariner of the Seas, and it does 2 days at Perfect Day at Coco Cay, which is their private island, and then of course it does a day at Nassau. I'm wondering, what are the Bahamas going to do? You know, because they're kind of locked down now, and, you know, it's going to kind of depend on the Bahamas. And are they going to, like, if they don't let people in Nassau, will they still let them do their private islands? I don't know. These are things I
think. Yeah, and I do think, and actually colleagues that I've spoken to who are cruise experts theorize that we're most likely going to see ships going to the private islands before they go anywhere else, because they have jurisdiction and they have minimal contact with islanders. So when they do that, so that means that you might not be able to do your excursion. So if you're going to Amber Cove and you would normally do an excursion into the Dominican Republic, you might not be able to do that. You might have to stay at Amber Cove or stay on board. And so, yeah, that's the thing too, you know, is it going to go twice, or are they going to have to give up one of those days there to let other ships go in, because those ships can't go to Grand Cayman, you know, or wherever. So it sort of depends on what, yeah, there's just so much unknown. And it comes down to, I mean, I want to travel as much as the next person, but I also want to make sure that we can get there and that it's going to be a relatively pleasant experience. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect. I can wear a mask. I have no issue with like the general guidelines. In fact, I really like staying 6 feet away from everybody. That makes me super happy. So that's cool. It's just, I just feel like we need to know just a little bit more, both about the where we're going and also what's happening at home.
Well, they've just bought a lot of time by canceling all the cruises through July. So they have some time to figure it out. It'll be interesting. I keep seeing articles about the crew, like the cruise ships are still out there with crew and the crew want to go home. And so, like, when are they going to send them home? Are they going to?
Well, they are sending them home. That's the thing, is you careful of the clickbait, Sandy. Royal Caribbean just got the part of the problem is these countries aren't taking people back.
Well, and the like where they're docked, like if they're docked off the coast of Florida, the U.S. isn't always letting them come ashore to get transportation back to home. I understand.
Right. No. It's not necessarily the cruise ships. They're trying as hard as, and they're doing a lot to talk to these governments to get them. But you know, we had situations, the state of Florida didn't let two cruise ships dock to let their own citizens off of them. Yeah. So, you know, it took forever for them to lobby for that. So some of this is politics and there's a lot at play there. So it's not really the cruise lines to blame completely.
Right. But I wonder, like, at what point do they just stick around, you know? if right. they're going to open up in August.
Or... Well, and then they have contracts. That's the thing too. They have contracts that are ending or, you know, or starting or what have you. So yes, it's a huge, just like what we talked about with restaurants, you know, most restaurants weren't able to just open in 2 days. It takes a little while to turn around, but the right. cruise lines do have the ability to say, okay, thanks for saying yes. This is how we're going to do it. And I do think that we're going to see partial cancellations after, you know, we may not continue to see the entire fleet cancel, but we'll see, okay, we're sailing these 6 ships and then these other ones we're not sailing. We're going to see that for a little while, I think. Totally Elizabeth talking. I have absolutely no basis for that in like actual fact or speaking to the cruise lines, but it seems logical to me.
You know what'll be really interesting is on the ships that maybe are at I've sold 60%, 70% capacity, and they decide they're going to sail at 50. How are they going to decide who doesn't get to go?
Yep. Yep. It's a good question. It's a good question.
That's a scary question.
It is.
I'm curious, and you know, none of us really knows this. Well, probably somebody listening knows this, but somebody who works for the cruise lines, how much have they sold? Are they in danger of that? Are there cruises that are still at that capacity? Maybe not. You know, enough people have canceled, changed plans. You know,
I don't know. Most of my people who were scheduled like for July were just holding tight till the cruise line said it, you know, and they were,
I think it depends on your people though. I mean, yeah. I had people cancel for an October cruise back in March that if they'd waited, it would have been canceled. It was one of the Princess cruises that canceled. You know, if you just wait a little bit longer, it'll cancel. Likewise, I had people going in November on a European cruise with Princess, and it canceled as well, you know, beginning of May. So, I think that as it depends. I have older passengers who have said, nope, can't do it. Not until there's a vaccine. So, but I do think your younger, my younger clients, like I said, I booked somebody last week for a cruise that canceled like last week. Just 4 days after we booked it. So they were just ready to go. And they picked a date that was, you know, they picked a date really close in. And I was like, I don't know, guys, it's probably not going to go. And they're like, if it goes, we're going to be so happy. If it doesn't go, we're going to take credit and we'll go later. But, you know, they want to get out of town. And I get it.
But at least they're informed.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
They know that what the risk is, and people make sure that you know that what your risk is, because the worst thing we want is for you to be disappointed that you can't go because of whatever.
Yeah, I have some honeymoon people that I'm a little, so I have people who want to change. They changed their wedding date to October and they were supposed to go to Cancun. Now they're looking back at St. Lucia again, because that was their first choice originally. But St. Lucia has some pretty strict restrictions right now. And, you know, as of right now, you have to have a letter from a doctor showing a negative test within 48 hours of arriving. And, you know, they have their phases. They have phase 1, 2, and 3, but they don't really say when that restriction will not be a thing. And I don't know that I would go on my honeymoon. I don't know. I mean, I'd probably go on my honeymoon with that if I could get I don't even know where you'd get a test within 48 hours right now. I don't think you can in North Carolina. So there's that, but I don't feel totally comfortable telling them to book October, knowing that that is what that country is doing right now. So it's tough. Yeah.
Well, and there's the whole issue of passports too. If your passport's expiring, or if you didn't have one and you intended to get one, mm-hmm. you're probably not traveling, not this year.
My my global entry expires next year, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna start really paying attention to what's going on with this mm-hmm. because
my understanding is that. The federal government has actually extended expiration dates by a year because nobody's able to travel right now.
Do you have a source for that? I haven't heard that.
Of course, I read it somewhere. Of course,
I would not. So, audience, until we finish Googling this, do not take that as, because I have not heard that.
I'll look into that.
Salt.
That'd be cool, you know, but I was going to renew it anyway. I'm going to keep global entry for sure. That was... Yeah. For sure. What about Europe? I know that I don't have anybody asking to go to Europe right now. Do you guys?
Well, I have clients that actually rescheduled for October, and they're a little concerned, but because, and it's a cruise. Of course, if they change it now, they're going to have to pay the penalties because they haven't made the, they haven't actually made the rules for that far in advance.
Yeah.
For cancellations. So by that token is like, they would have to pay, you know, 50% or 75% penalty to change it at this point.
Wow.
Or to cancel out altogether. So I've basically instructed them. I'm like, you know what? Just, we don't know what's going to happen. So just sit tight.
Yeah.
Yep. That's, so to answer the global, let me just straighten out the global entry question. You normally have a year after, no matter what, you have a 1 year grace period, but you have to submit your application for renewal before the expiration date to be eligible for the grace period.
Okay.
So yeah.
If they don't process it, you have some time.
Yeah. But that's apparently a normal thing. And I don't have global entry, so I didn't know that, but apparently you do get let me find the sentence that it said. Still allowing travelers to use global entry benefits for up to a full year after their global entry membership expires. However, you must submit your application for renewal before the expiration date. So this was actually because they've been backed up apparently since the end of 2019.
Oh, yes. I got stuck in that.
Yeah. So.
Well, I guess I'll just be going to Pittsburgh for my interview again.
Well, and that's the thing for me. My passport expires in March. And I had intended to go to Italy in May. And to go to Italy, you have to have 6 months after a year, which was no problem. They moved my Italy trip to November. Now I can't go unless I can renew. And the only way for me to renew, in theory, would be to go to an office within 72 hours of travel. So it's really risky. So now I'm looking at possibly canceling that trip altogether and just, yeah.
Yeah, it took me 8 months to actually score an interview. And that's only because I traveled through Fort Lauderdale and was able to do it on my way back in the country.
Yeah, for global entry. So, mm-hmm. George, what were you about to say?
The extension does not apply for New York residents.
Right, because New York residents can't get global entry anymore.
That's right.
That's some... I don't want to say what I
think. Yeah. Politics, people. So, anywho, for Europe, I do think that Europe may open up toward the end of the year this year, but I might be alone in that. So again, that's just Elizabeth. That is not the experts of the world. Europe will be opening up no matter what, but it might only be opening up to other Europeans, other people in the EU.
That's what I've read about Spain and Italy. That's where they're starting.
Spain, actually, we just had this conversation in our group. Spain has not limited it to the EU. They're the only ones who haven't. Spain so far has said, we'll let foreign travelers in, and they have not specified whether or not. Yeah. So everybody else, yeah, Great Britain, Ireland, Italy, they've all said, you know, yes, we will open up, but it will be to Europeans, and then we will go from there.
So as of this recording, too, I believe that Hawaii is still doing a 14-day quarantine.
Yes, that got extended to June 30th. June 30th.
Yeah.
And Alaska, I've got clients still
going to July.
I'm sorry, say that one more time, Donna.
I've got clients that are supposed to go in July, and we're basically on pins and needles waiting.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alaska also still has a quarantine, and they don't know when that will lift either. But of course, right now the cruise ships aren't coming, but in theory you could fly there, but then you have to stay in place for 14 days before you could venture
out. I didn't realize Alaska had it too. That's interesting.
And Hawaii's, they are very serious about it. Mm-hmm. It's a $5,000 fine if they catch you out.
Yeah.
You're given your hotel room key is only good for one entry.
Oh, wow.
Leave the room, you have to go to the front desk to get a new key.
I read that. I think it was Hong Kong. I read that they were doing something similar where you had to get tested when you arrived at the airport, and then you had to go to your hotel and stay put till they gave you the result.
And the hotels are actually snitching. the police departments and all about residents that don't stay put.
Yep.
Well, it's serious stuff. So, you know, I mean, you just need to be aware of this stuff and you need to be ready to comply, you know, because
they will make you comply if you don't.
I mean, you have a right to stay home. Nobody's like saying you have to go to Hawaii right now.
Right. And that's the thing, too, when, you know, there are requirements for these places, you have to know what the requirements are and then you have to be OK with them. And if you're not, then you don't go. It's pretty straightforward. It's like if you don't want to comply, then that's probably not where you need to go. It's not, you know, probably not life or death.
That was one of the other things they said. You have to actually, when you arrive in Hawaii, you have to fill out an affidavit, basically, that you're going to stay put. And if you don't have a place to go with an address and everything, you were just going to kind of wing it. They'll put you back on a plane headed home. Mm-hmm.
Probably at your own expense, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yep. And again, it's just so in summary, I think the overall answer is we don't know what's going to happen, but where we're going to go first is probably domestic or someplace that doesn't require a passport, at least for a little while, especially if you're at the end of your passport's life. So, yeah.
And I think, too, if you're traveling domestically, you need to kind of expect to do the same things you've been doing, wear the mask in the grocery stores, do the social distancing. I mean, the reality is that we don't have a vaccine. We don't have herd immunity. It hasn't gone away. So you just have to be smart about it and, you know, do the things that will keep your family safe. I personally kind of think that if you're going to like a beach house and then you're going to be on the beach. And I mean, I think there's plenty of things you can do where you're socially distanced enough that we can make this work if we all just kind of work together.
Well, that's my whole plan every time I travel is to remain socially distant. So I am pretty good at it. But yeah, I think you have to trust where you're going and you have to not only think about your own safety, but the safety of others. So that's sort of the thing too. It's not just about you and, you know, you having a good time. And if your idea of a vacation is a huge party, you know, foam party in the pool, probably not going to happen for a little while. You know, that's not going to be the vacation that's available for a little while. It doesn't mean that it'll never be available again. And that's the important thing to remember too. You have to be patient with this because it's unlike anything else. And it's really easy to feel like it's going to go on forever. But if it were going to go on forever, we wouldn't be doing this anymore because it's no good to sell travel when there's no travel to sell. So we're looking forward to that day as much as anybody else, but we're cautious as well. So
I know we're all itching to get back out.
It's difficult.
All right. Well, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. We would love for you to share your life-changing moments with us on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Fly Away or on the podcast page on OutlanderTravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, George, Elizabeth, and myself, Sandy, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.